Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the scariest things in life is not knowing what is going to happen next. Alfred Hitchcock, a renowned horror movie director, is quoted as saying, "There is no terror in the bang, only in the anticipation of it." Hitchcock was renowned for the suspense in his movies. You never knew when something bad was going to happen. And sometimes you knew it was going to happen, and you wait. And you wait. And you wait. Building the tension in your bodies before it would happen. Some of the best scary movies do the same thing today. They make you wait, not knowing when the bad thing will happen, and building the tension before it does. In the mid-1990s, there was a film called Congo, based on the novel written by Michael Crichton, the same guy who wrote Jurassic Park. About midway through the film, there's a particularly tension-building moment where a man transcribes some hieroglyphics in the temple that they have found. Now, at this point, there had been a couple of attacks already, but what he says makes it that much worse. He says that hieroglyphics read, "We are watching you." In the movie, the creatures which are attacking the human characters have already demonstrated that they are intelligent beings. There is no doubt that the creatures watching them could be watching them now, waiting for the prime opportunity to attack. Perhaps the movie quote reminds you of the tension you felt when you first watched it, if you've seen it. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus says something similar. He tells Nathanael, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Some of you might be thinking, yes, but this is Jesus, not some creature in some film. Well, let's explore the ramifications of what Jesus said in our gospel text. John the Apostle begins our text writing, "The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.'" Now, just looking at these two sentences, we can see that John is saying several things about our Lord Jesus. First, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. It wasn't a whim. It wasn't that Jesus had no idea what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was and continues to be an intelligent being. He knew where Philip would be, and he went with the purpose of calling him to follow him. He was the manifestation of God in human flesh. Yet God humbled himself to learn and to do the things that any human being would do. As it says in the writings of the prophet Isaiah, "He had no form or majesty that we should desire him." And again in the Gospel of Luke, "Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus was God in human flesh, but he was no celebrity, no model, no Einstein, or great thinker that we should envy him or look to him. But he did have intelligence, and he used it here to go find Philip. Today, Jesus continues to seek those to follow him. He calls them through the word, whether they heard it here in church, whether it was heard in church here years ago, or it was by the encouragement of the brothers and sisters in Christ. That is how we have these two great events in our church this morning: the baptism of Cora and the confirmation of Cody that we'll have in a few minutes. Now that Cora has been baptized, and once Cody has been confirmed, it doesn't end there. In the last chapters of some of the Gospels, Jesus has died and risen again, and yet the apostles are found hiding in the upper room. And then, even once Jesus comes and greets them, he breathes the Holy Spirit on them, they go back to their everyday lives. They go back to fishing and those other things that they were doing. Granted, baptism and adult membership are not the same as calls to be apostles. Cora and Cody are not being called to do miracles and to travel as preachers to the ends of the world. They might receive that call, but if they do, it will be at a time later than today. At the same time, they are called to do their everyday routines, but as new people. In baptism, they have both been made new creations of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they are called to continue hearing that word. It is only through hearing God's word that they will continue to grow in the faith and in love toward God and their neighbors. They are not called to be apostles, and neither are we. But we are called to love God, to love His word, and our neighbors. And the only place that we learn to do those things is in the word, and the Spirit working in us through that very word. Cora, Cody, and we, all of us new creations in Christ Jesus. And as new creations, we desire to continue hearing the word and loving our God and our neighbors. Just as Philip would demonstrate when he brings Nathanael to Jesus. When Jesus had called Philip, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Again, we find that Jesus was no celebrity. He was no person of great renown. Even the very city in which he came from, Nazareth. Nathanael questioned, "Could anything good come from Nazareth?" To this, Philip simply replies, "Come and see." Even though he had his doubts, Nathanael went with Philip. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Just as he did not take an appearance to be noticed, Jesus did not always use his knowledge of everything, his ability to see everything going on, his omniscience. But in this case, he does. To the sinful human being, the fact that God is omniscient is the most terrifying concept ever. God sees him or her all the time. Not just out in public, not just with family, all the time. Even when the sinner is what he or she believes is, quote unquote, all alone. And God has the power to condemn that sinner, indeed any one of us, to hell. Forever. Forget the creatures from Congo was saying, "We are watching you." God is watching you. That is a much scarier thought. At any time, God could come and say, "I saw you." But as we heard earlier, God sought us out. God sought you out. He called you to himself through his word and the waters of holy baptism. He did this not because you were perfect or because you're not a sinner. You are. No, he did it because he is love. He is love, so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to pay for your sins. Even though Jesus didn't always use his godly divine power, he was still God in the flesh. As such, when he would later be nailed and crucified on the cross, he would be separated from God the Father, suffering hell itself in your place for you, so that you would never have to. He took the punishment you rightly deserved, the punishment you and God both know that you deserve. He took upon himself. And he paid for it. Because God sent his son Jesus to die for your sins, he has sought you through his word. Now that you have heard it, you will see greater things than these, just like Nathanael, and just as I was telling the children a few moments ago. Jesus answered Nathanael, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Philip, Nathanael, and all of the apostles did not deserve for Jesus to call them to follow him. Nevertheless, they would go on to see the blind made able to see, the deaf made able to hear, the lepers made clean, and even some brought back from the dead. They also had their trials and suffering, but this was for the sake of Jesus. Tradition holds that 11 of these 12 likely died in faith and would go on to see God and Jesus and the glories of heaven. Today we have been called to be believers. We may not do miracles, but we still see them. We see them as people are brought to the waters of baptism. We see them as people make the good confession, a confession that they of themselves could not make, but only the Spirit working in them to make that good confession. We may not have been called out of our everyday lives, but we have been sent back to them as new creations, ones which love our families, our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, and everyone that God puts in our lives. And we love them as God loves us. We love because He first loved us. Our time here on earth has not yet been completed, so we do as the apostles did, keeping with Jesus and His word. The new creations we have been made know that that is the only place we can be kept in the faith, and to learn to truly love God and our neighbors, only in the word. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And yes, God is still watching you. He is still watching all of us. But in the forgiveness of His Son, Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection, God no longer sees your sin, but each of you as His dear child. That He does for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh. Amen.